If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at a few passages, but go to John chapter 21 and just chapter 21 and verse 19. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into John 21:19 says, "Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.' And Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?'" That's referring to John the disciple. So Peter looks at John the disciple. "And Peter, seeing him," verse 21, "said to Jesus, 'Lord, and what about this man?' And Jesus said to him, 'If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me.'" You know, Jesus calls us to be his disciples. He calls us to follow him. And that's sort of the theme, in fact, the theme of what Christianity and what life is about, you know. I'm not giving, you know, some churches are going to give like a casting vision for the next year. I tried that in 2019, 2020. COVID happened. So my predictive abilities are zero, so I'm not going to try that. And I don't think it's what we're meant to do. You know, James says, hey, you who are going to go to this place and that place and do business, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. So, yeah, you make your plans as the Lord wills. But one thing that Jesus does teach us is not looking to the next year, though it's good to plan, it's really to look to the next day. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. Right? Forgive us today, you know. Take up your cross today, daily. It's a daily following of Jesus. And so I see Jesus, calling us. And what's interesting here in John 21 is that Jesus is talking with his disciples, Peter and John, specifically the Peter, disciples who had been with him for the last 3+ years. And he tells them the same thing he told them at the beginning. At the beginning of his call, he sees Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, doing their fishing thing, you know, and he says, "Follow me." At the beginning he calls, he goes, "Follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." At the end, he still says the same thing. That is, "Follow me." It's easy to get distracted. It's easy to so want to, you know, do other things, then the simplicity of the Lord's command is, follow me. And throughout his ministry, Jesus, whether he met future disciples like Matthew, follow me, and he leaves his tax collector booth, or somebody comes to him and says, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. But first, let me go back and bury my parents," right? And he says, "No, follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Every time there was this challenge, this call to follow Christ. Sometimes he would say, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Well, you're still going to follow me. And that's the call of each Christian. And I think sometimes we can get very distracted and forget the simplicity of that simple command to follow Christ. It is the disciple, us as disciples, it's our main priority, is following Jesus. There's that simple walk of following somebody, right? And Jesus is along, he's walking along in one sense in life, and we're to keep with him or be with him and focus our attention on him. He says, "Follow me. Don't follow somebody else." I think sometimes that means that Christ, in fact, I think it does mean that Christ has to be the priority of the disciple. I think this next year we're going to focus more on discipling and discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. There are a lot of people who attend church and who claim to be Christians, but they're not disciples. God calls us to be disciples. That means a learner, one who learns, one who interacts with. And being a disciple meant you had to spend some time with that person, right? Observing them. And a lot of us have been walking with Christ. But here, Jesus' challenges to us is the same challenge he gave to Peter. You follow me. You've been walking with me. That's great. Keep walking. You're going to find things in your life that's going to be very distracting. You follow me. I'm to be your priority, as he says, basically. Make Jesus Christ your priority. Following Jesus, of course, is a way of life. It means that we are to be focused on Christ and not on others. That's why he says in verse, he says to, when Peter says, well, what about this man? He's pointing to John. What about him? You know, we, a lot of us do that, don't we? We're distracted by how other Christians are doing their life, whether, well, what about him? What about them? And Jesus says, no, you follow me. You're that's great. But then Jesus says, my plan for him is different than my plan for you. It's easy to be discouraged by looking at what God's plan for other people, isn't it? That's what have I missed? John, he's gonna live until you come back? No. He'll be the last disciple to die. Jesus says, in fact, Jesus will tell Peter, by the way, you're going to die a different kind of death, and you're going to have a different kind of ministry, and that's okay. Your priority is me, not other disciples. I think that's the problem we have nowadays, is that we're so caught up with how other Christians are living, and we're trying to follow them rather than Christ. Following Christ, of course, is a journey of learning, of living. It's simple, isn't it? It's very simple. It's a daily walk with Christ. There's a destination involved. Of course, that's being intimate with Christ, of learning of Christ, of learning his faithfulness. Sometimes along the journey, a lot of his experience, we go through times that are more challenging than others, the trials, the dark times, and we wonder, God, where are you? The times when our shepherd is out of our sight, but the encouragement is that Christ is still with us. He hasn't left us. Right? Sometimes as sheep, we want to get ahead of the shepherd, don't we? Sometimes we come and we approach Jesus as if we're going to pull his reins and steer his direction. And Jesus will not have that. He knows where he's leading each one of us. And you can't, if you're going to follow Christ, if it's like I'm going to follow somebody, I'm going to follow them, that means I got to focus my attention on that person, but it also means that I can't go my own direction. You can't say you're a follower of Jesus and then you're going to live your life in your own direction. You can't go both ways. It means you have to say no to your plans, no to your desires, no to your will, no to your own way of doing things. In following Jesus, doesn't it? Say, Lord, you're not going fast enough. I was hoping to be this, that, and the other, you know. What's the rush? Because the destination is not run ahead of Jesus and get there before. No, the destination is to be with him and learn of him and become like him. And yeah, he's going to lead you and I through the valley of shadow of death. He's going to lead us through scary times and difficult times and times of testing and times of trial and times, but all that so we can learn of his goodness. How would we know of his goodness had we not gone through the dark seasons, right? And in the midst of those dark seasons, we don't praise God. I mean, in the midst of it, it's hard to praise God for the dark things, right? Because it's challenging. But at the end of it, you're like, oh, Lord, thank you for bringing me through. You were with me, but I doubted. I'm sorry for my doubt. I'm sorry for my fears. I'm just a sheep. And he says, that's why I didn't want you to go ahead of me, because I want to go ahead of you so I can take care of the enemy along the way. Does that make sense? And each one of us is called. Jesus is calling each one of us. As if we were with Peter on the shores of the Galilee, he says to each one of you, follow me. Now, when he calls people to follow, he doesn't say, when somebody says, well, first let me do this, let me bury my pants, or let me, you know, take care of business, you know. He says, no. There has to be a response. And some people have put off following Christ for years. You know you should be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and you're putting him off to the side as if you have time, as if time's on your side. But that's the grace of God. And what you're missing in those years of saying no to Jesus, you're missing experiencing who God is. Right? We follow him, of course. But what does that mean? What does it require? Of course, it means, of course, we focus on Christ. It means we follow him exclusively, not other saints. We follow Jesus. It's as the psalmist says in Psalm 73, he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on earth. That is the ultimate goal of the disciple, says, I have no one else on earth, or no one in heaven I desire, and no one on earth I desire but you, God. It's the cry, that's what Christ is calling each one of us to fellowship and be with him and to respond to him. And that takes a submission of your will and a willingness to say yes. Is Christ calling you to put away those other things and respond to him? It means putting Christ first above all relationships. Luke 14, he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Those are hard, those are strong words. But what he's saying there is that your relationship with Christ ought to be so number one that all relationships are secondary, that in comparison, it's like hatred. Now, here's the thing. Putting Christ first in your marriage, Christ first as a parent, Christ first with your family, helps your relationships to go better. If you put your child above your God and you're worshiping your child, you have no fellowship with Christ. If you put your spouse above your God, then your love for your spouse cannot be Christ-like. Right? It is Jesus first and Jesus foremost. And if that is set right, then my relationship with my spouse and my siblings and my children can fall into place. Why? Because I've had such intimacy with Jesus Christ that his love has been poured out in my heart, that the fruit of the Spirit has been given to me so that I am equipped and able to then love my children, love my spouse, love my family as Christ would. Following Christ, though, also requires this. It means leaving behind your past. It means when you're going to follow somebody, you're going to be going forward, and that means some things are being left behind, right? Now, the one thing the devil will do to you as you're trying to follow Jesus, he'll keep trying to bring that baggage up with you and say, well, remember this, remember that. And you can't walk forward and look back too well at the same time. Right? It requires that my desires have to die. Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Every single day we have our desires, we have our own personal will that we have to say, Lord, I'm going to lay this on the cross. And that's a daily thing. It's a daily, no wonder Jesus said to them at the front of the ministry, follow me. And at the end of this ministry, follow me, because it's a continual thing, a continual invitation to deny our wants, our desires. And Jesus will says this in the context, Peter had confessed Jesus is Lord. He says, who do men say that I am? He goes, you're the Christ, the Son of God, right? You're the Messiah. But then a few verses later, he says, I'm going to the cross. And Peter says, over my dead body, basically. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah, and then he says, you're not going to the cross, and Jesus says, oh, that's Satan speaking through you. You're setting your desire on man's interests, not on God's. There's what it is. Dying to your own self-interest. And that's hard. To crucify the flesh, to crucify our selfish desires. That's a daily decision, a daily surrender, right? Following Christ means letting go of control of your life and say, Lord, you be in control. Again, that's a daily thing. Following Christ means, you understand, think about this. Peter and the boys, they were fishermen, and maybe they were successful, but they said goodbye to what they had in the world. They said goodbye to their success. They had said goodbye to what they could have earned in the world, right? They have given that all up. And Jesus even tells them, hey, you've given this up, you know, and you'll be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. The point is this, is it says what Paul says in Philippians. Go to Philippians 3. Go to Philippians 3. I love what Paul, this is, Paul is a great example of this. Paul was a successful, as a Pharisee, and he's, you know, righteous and, you know, according to the law and everything else. In Philippians 3, he talks about how he was very religious and he was a Pharisee. He was, you know, just really, he had it all together. But verse 7, Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He goes, I gave up my success as a Pharisee, my status, my religiosity. I gave that all up in order to know Christ. Is this speaking to anyone? Jesus Christ says, or Paul says that Jesus Christ is the most valuable thing in the world. I would sell all my possessions if I could follow Christ more heartily. Now, he's not telling everyone to, but he says, whatever things were inhibiting me from following Christ, I'm giving that up. Because the value of knowing Jesus, of following Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus, far excels the riches in the world, the status of the world, the fame, the whatever you want, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're successful, if you're wealthy, if you're famous, if all that stuff, and you don't have Jesus, you have an empty existence. Your success means nothing if you don't have Christ, right? If God forbid something happened and you had to evacuate your house, what would you take with you? I would say my Bible, maybe a journal, but definitely my Bible and my loved ones where I go, because I want to still have some way of my scriptures. I love to read. I want to know him. And I don't care if I live in a shed, if I can spend time with Christ, if I can know of him, I'm richer than the richest man in the world. Because a person who has Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, as his friend, is wealthier and more full of life than people who have it all. Fame, fortune, all. And I'm saying that's not, there's nothing, God blesses people with all, that's okay. But I'm saying the most important thing is Jesus Christ, amen? Most important thing. And following him, of course, it requires that we trust him. And that's the hard thing. Sometimes we say, Lord, but Lord, but Lord, what about this? Would you consider that, Lord? And when he says, you trust me. And we're, I don't know about you, we're sheep. We get scared, don't we? That's okay. I mean, if he's holding the atoms together in the universe, if he knows all of the mathematical computations and algorithms of the whole, certainly he can. My problems I go through aren't very difficult, are they? We have to trust that he will not leave us because he says, I'm not going to leave you. I mean, if he stood on the cross, he stood nailed to the cross, and allowed himself to suffer, how much more will he be with us even in our deepest, darkest, difficult days? What a glorious God we serve, amen? Following Jesus means, of course, we have to trust him. We have to trust that he'll lead us. He'll lead us in paths of righteousness. He'll lead us where he wants to lead us. And we have to trust him because he's the Lord. Following him, of course, requires that we have humility and self-denial. And it's not something that we learn overnight. I'm still learning to trust God. Are you still learning to trust God? I'm still learning to try to let go of my past. You know, the enemy, all he does is remind you of your past. He never focuses on your future with Christ. Right? I'm still learning to not be fearful. I'm still learning to handle doubt. Right? Now, as we follow Jesus, of course, we can, you know, spend lots of days and weeks, but as we follow Jesus, what does that mean? What will we experience? Well, from the world's standpoint, we might feel the same thing that Jesus, or experience the same thing as Jesus. Jesus was rejected. If you follow Jesus Christ, you will be rejected. Not by Jesus. You may be rejected by family, by your friends, by your coworkers, by the world, right? And Jesus already told us that the world's going to hate you because they hated me. Don't take it personal, right? You might experience the same thing that Christ experienced. He was rejected and despised, right? Here's a man, as the Isaiah says, he was despised and forsaken, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. That's a picture of when he's on the cross or when he's, before everyone else, it's as if to say, oh, I can't look at him. I'm so embarrassed to be associated with him. That's the shame he experienced on the cross. You and I might experience that. Not from Jesus, but from the world. The world that says it loves you until you mention Christ, then it just suddenly turns against you. You can mention God all day long. You mention Jesus Christ, now suddenly things are different. Why? Because the world's offended at Christ. Christ was rejected. Christ was hated. Like I said, Jesus says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You might experience shame in being a disciple of Christ. You know, think about this. What's the one group in this world, in this country, in this world, that's picked on the most? Christians. They don't target other isms. They target Christians, right? That's okay. By the way, we're going to be with Jesus in the kingdom of God. This world's going to pass away, and we'll be with him, with our shepherd, forever and ever. Yep. So the short span that we have to experience potentially any shame or rejection from the world is nothing compared to the glory of being with Christ. If we look at church history, the first centuries of the early church, people died for the faith all the time. We happen to live in a very, you know, in this country, in this time, a gracious time of God, you know. Some will experience misunderstanding, will be called toxic or intolerant. They'll want to establish boundaries against you Christians because you're toxic. You know, that's what happens. By the way, can I just say as a pause, a commentary, I think the whole boundary thing is overused. Because now you suddenly can call anyone you want toxic because you don't like them or you don't like how you feel around them, so you call them toxic, and so you establish boundaries. I think it's overused because it's not Christ-like. It's a commentary. Unpause, okay? That's all par for the course of being a Christian. There's times when you'll experience in following Jesus times of loneliness, when you feel like you're at it all by yourself. How many of you have been there before as a Christian? You felt this like you're the, you feel this like isolated, times of isolation and silence. You're suffering perhaps, maybe going through something that no one else knows about. But Jesus Christ says, I will be with you in those times. And he knows that because he's with you. And as you're in those times that he's allowing by his grace to experience, he's doing something in your spirit. He's developing something. He's developing himself in you. Because if you're going to follow Jesus, you're also going to experience, to a point, certain things he experienced: rejection, shame, loneliness, despair. You'll experience times of doubt. God, what are you doing? God, where are you? Did I miss something? Are you punishing me? And why am I suffering this way? Have you guys experienced that before as a Christian? Or am I the only one? I hope I'm not the only one. I went through something severe this week. God puts me through lab sessions of testing and of spiritual warfare. My goodness. And I woke up this morning, I'm like, Lord, thank you that you're still with me. Thank you that whatever that stuff I was going through, I know you're with me even though I didn't feel it. I felt just abandoned, right? But I know he's still with me because he doesn't lie, and his word says, I am with you wherever you go. I am with you. I haven't forsaken you. I'm allowing you to go through this and developing you. I'm also showing you my faithfulness. Because if God can't be faithful to you in the dark times, okay, when times are good, that's easy, right? But who's the friend that sticks closer than a brother? That's Jesus Christ. When you have no one else to turn to, who will you turn to but Jesus Christ? And he says, I will never reject you. The devil's a liar. He says, God has forgotten about you. No, he hasn't. He's a liar. It's all he does is lie. Lie, 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 lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire, right? As you follow Christ, from the world you experience things, but from Christ, here's what you'll gain: intimacy with him, closeness with him. You'll experience knowing him in a deeper level that had you not followed him, you would never experience. That's why Paul says in Philippians 3:8, more than that, I count all things to be loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Then he says, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God upon faith, that I may know him. Look at verse 10. You guys there? Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. That's where life is at, is in knowing Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Suffering is part of being a disciple. and understanding the sufferings of Christ and fellowshipping with him and being conformed to his death in order that I may attend to the resurrection of the dead. In order to live, you have to die. Yourself, your self-desires, your flesh has to, in order to live. But if you die, you'll live. Because you'll die to yourself, but you'll live in Christ. And by the way, this is not a message that's preached a lot in this world or in churches. Right? The deny yourself, take up your cross in order to follow, to really know Jesus. You know, I could have hired a juggler guy here and give it a TED Talk to entertain you guys and put on a show and ad lib and put all the fancy things out there, but Jesus is calling each of us to follow him. And it's an individual road. You follow me, he says. He may not call the person next to you to the same path, right? Their experience may be completely different than yours. He still says, you follow me, because my plan for you is different than my plan for them. And that is okay. Because at the end of it, may Christ be glorified. As we follow Christ, we become closer to him. And that's a daily walk, a daily of growing. But also, as you follow him, here's what you do. You're beginning to trust him as you're following a daily thing. And of course, there's going to be, it's not going to be a straight line. But as you're following him, here's what you're doing. You're also trusting him. And as you're trusting him, you are experiencing freedom and relief from the burden of trying to control life. Right? As you're following him, you experience the freedom of letting him carry the burden that you are trying to carry on your own, because you're trying to do his job and your job at the same time. Am I speaking to anyone here today? That burden is too heavy for you to carry. He can't be Lord and you can't be Lord at the same time. Right? But when you entirely trust him, and say, Lord, my life is in your hand. Today, because we're talking about daily life, right? Every single day, I'm going to entrust you. There is a freedom that happens with doing that. The burden is lifted, is placed on him, and you're like, oh, wow, this feels so much better. That pack was getting a little heavy. It's like Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress who carries that burden until he lays it at the cross of Christ, you know? As you follow Christ, remember, you trust him, you entrust him, and you follow him and let him be Lord. But there's a freedom in letting God be in control. But as you follow him, here's what else happens. And those of us who are mature in Christ, you'll experience this. You know this. As you follow Christ more closely, you become more and more aware of your own sin. Right? Lord, wow, you're shining a light really bright on my sin today. I'm like, woe is me. I'm be merciful to me, the sinner. As you grow in Christ and as you follow him, you'll become more aware of your sin. But at the same time, you'll be more appreciative of the fact that he has washed that sin away. There's this struggle. Lord, boy, we've been walking and now the sin's exposed. And I realize, I'm understanding now, I'm beginning to understand the depths of your love. See, I knew you loved me when I thought I had this much sin, but then I realized when I come and I've walked with you, the depths of my sin was greater and you still love me. Okay, help me to wrap my mind around that. You become more aware of how deep his love has been for you and his grace. Does that make sense? And you journey along with him, and you become more aware of his holiness, and you say, Lord, away from me, I am a sinful man. And he says, no, child, I'm still with you, right? And the worship that you experience of appreciation, of understanding, Lord, now the pride will come up and say, well, Lord, I wasn't that bad. And Jesus says, no, it's okay. If we stand before God right now, all of us will say, I am undone, except for the blood of Christ that has washed away our sin, right? Except the fact that we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's already taken all that on the cross. And as you walk with Him, guess what happens? You begin to walk like Him. You don't even have to broadcast that you're a Christian. It just comes out. There's humility, there's gratefulness, there's the fruit of the Spirit that comes out, because you have followed Him. I remember my dad's back there. Dad, I remember when we used to walk, when I was younger, and they can tell that me and my brother, me and my brother were my dad's kids. Why? Because we walked just like him. It's an Italian walk, arm swing. You guys are related because you all walk the same. Why? Because we followed his walk. And as a Christian, that's what happens when you are close with Christ in your walk. You know? There's a Christ-likeness. Jesus says in Matthew 10, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher and the slave like his master. I like what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Christ's sake so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. As we follow Christ, there's this intimacy, this growth. And so my question, I'm going to follow up. Simple question, will you follow Jesus? Will you follow Jesus today? Will you continue to follow Jesus no matter what? Because he's calling you today. Some people, maybe for the first time, I think most of us have been following Jesus, but there's still invitations the same. He says, follow me today. Those watching online, his call to you is to follow him, to follow Christ, to look to him, no one else. Learn of him, right? You know what's wonderful is the fact that he knows each one of us. He knows how he's made us. He knows what he's called us to be. He knows where our hang-ups are, where our hurts are, where all that stuff is, and he still is that gentle. He's the shepherd who knows the condition of his flocks. And he knows this one over here needs a little more ointment over here, and this one needs a little be more fed here, this one needs the... And he knows all of that. And he hasn't forgotten about you. If he's tending to other sheep, his attention's still on you as well as his sheep. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the fact that you have provided for us the Good Shepherd. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the Good Shepherd that has laid down his life for the sheep. And Lord, you have called, you're calling, and you have called each one of us to follow you. Lord, let it be that we don't delay, but we say yes, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who has heard your call, that they would not put it off, but they would say yes, Lord. I believe, but help my unbelief. I want to trust in you, Lord, and follow you. Show me how to do that. Lord, I pray that you would speak to your sheep with your gentleness and your kindness, your voice that is full of love and compassion, that you allow yourself to be known by simple people, Lord. Lord, we want to hear your call. We want to say yes, Lord. We will follow. Today, Lord, I pray your blessing and your encouragement on everyone here, Lord. Those who are your sheep, I pray, Lord, that they would hear your voice and follow you. And I pray for those who may not know you, Lord. that they would say, yes, Lord, and give up everything to follow you. And whatever they've given up is nothing in comparison to the value of knowing Christ. Lord, thank you for your kindness and your grace. Thank you for being a good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we stand up?